So now let's turn our attention to God's word as Kelly leads us in our scripture passage today. I invite you to open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1.
In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight.
Thanks, God. It's getting hot under the tent. And the preacher was getting sweaty. He had a handkerchief. He was wiping his face as he paced back and forth. "Do you believe that God is with you?" he said. "Come on, you can play around. Do you?" To which the congregation said, "We believe. Do you believe that God is with you?
We believe.
Do you believe that God is with you?
We believe.
Are you ready for a miracle tonight?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a miracle tonight?
Yeah.
Because God is with you." Yes. That's it. All right. Okay. Woo, okay. So, and Catherine was sitting in the back row, and this was a kind of a new experience for her. She wasn't really used to this. She grew up in a church where when you're worshiping God means you're quiet all the time. And when you're wanting to get more spiritual, you engage in study. And we are solemn and serious for the Lord. But at age 19, she was coming home from college and she was meeting her boyfriend's parents for the first time. And so they brought her out to the revival meeting in the tent. And this was a new experience for her. As watching the preacher pacing back and forth, getting sweaty for the Lord. "Do you believe that God is with you?" And the congregation's just going, and they're getting excited, and there's ladies waving their hankies around, and there's big hats flowing everywhere. Somebody in the front row looking like they're about to pass out, and she's going, "I have not seen it." She's looking for the emergency exits, you know, just to go, okay, something, if I need to leave in a hurry, dude, is something going to happen here? So this was just a very, very different culture for her. She was not really equipped for this. But it also, for all of the things that she didn't quite understand, and for all of the excesses that she was a little concerned with, and emotionalism, it also created a hunger in her. What if there really is more to God and experiencing God in my everyday life than I've experienced so far? What if I really should be on a daily basis anticipating the supernatural? What if God really is with me in that kind of a way? And I should be having that level of anticipation. The thought haunted her. And so as she got back to her regular life, she started praying in a different way. "God, if you really are with me, and you really do work with supernatural power, Lord, help me to be available to it. God, I'm available to you because I believe that you're with me. And she wondered as she was praying things like that, would I see more of the supernatural? And fortunately, she did not need to wait very long. The next morning, she went down to the farmer's market, and she noticed down there that, there was fresh asparagus, because it was springtime, and there was a really great sale on asparagus. And as she was buying some asparagus to take home and grill, a thought came to her mind, about her Aunt Edith. Now, Edith was someone their family had been, they'd been kind of separated. I mean, she only lived four doors down the street, but there had been some animosity. Like, Edith was just, she was just angry. She didn't really know about what. There must have been something. But boy, she kind of stuck to herself, and for some reason, Catherine just couldn't get her off her mind. Now, because she was raised in a church that did lots of study, she remembered that when you're looking to see, is God speaking to me on something, that you compare it to the scriptures, and as far as she could tell, there was no prohibitions against asparagus in the Bible. So she thought, you know, maybe it would be okay if I just got some extra asparagus and brought it over to Edith's house and gave her some. Maybe that would be a nice thing to do, she thought to herself. So she did. She picked up some asparagus and went to Edith's door and knocked on the door. And so Edith came out and said, Aunt, I was down at the farmer's market and I saw some asparagus and it looked good. And so I thought of you. And then she was hesitating whether or not to say this next part, but she'd been kind of rehearsing it in her mind. The springtime always kind of reminds me of God's mercy and how his mercies are new every morning. So Edith just wanted to say, give you some asparagus and just say, Jesus loves you. Just a little hesitant on that part because she didn't know, you know, exactly what she was supposed to say there, but it kind of felt like the right thing at the time, like the thing maybe she was supposed to say and do. Well, Edith reacted badly. So, she said to Catherine, so I'm your evangelism project now. Is that what that is? That you're just going to come over and, like, you know, just give a little love offering or something and then say that now I'm supposed to just, you know, become the similar sort of empty-headed Christian like you are? You make me sick. I'm so disappointed in you. Just going for that stuff. That's the Christians, you're all the same. All of you, you're just judgmental. You just judge people just looking down at your snooty little noses and self-righteous, smug. Do you feel better about yourself? Really? So disappointed in you. As she took the asparagus and went back into the house and slammed the door. Well, this was not the response that Catherine had anticipated. And so as she walked back home and tried to fight back the tears, she was wondering, God, did I hear you back then? Was I really supposed to do that? And it was in that moment that a word sort of formed in her head. The word was peace. And amazingly enough, she felt a type of peace right about then. So, God, are you with me in this? She thought to herself, or prayed, or whatever exactly she was doing at that moment. But it seemed right enough, and so she kind of kept on with it. Later that day, she was running some errands, and she saw an older gentleman by the side of the road. He was just walking along the sidewalk, but he looked very, very sad. And somehow that just kind of caught Catherine's attention. And though she was hesitant, she felt a bit like she should pull over and maybe see what was going on with this gentleman. And as she did, she got kind of a picture in her mind of a bridge. She thought, that's funny. A bridge. She walks up to the gentleman, learns his name, and she says, how are you doing?
She says, all right.
Oh, okay, no, I just pulled over because you just look like you're a little sad.
Well, why don't you mind your own business?
Okay, she said. Do you have anything anything going on involving a bridge? She said. And the man started weeping. And he started telling the story about how his wife had just passed away and how he was so desperately, desperately lonely. And how he'd been thinking all day how it would be better if he could just throw himself off the bridge. So Catherine had an opportunity to minister to him, to tell him about Jesus, to invite him to church so maybe he wouldn't have to be so lonely. And she started to wonder about maybe whether God really was with her in some ways that she hadn't experienced before. We're starting a new series today called Ghost. And we're going to be in the book of Acts over the next 4 weeks looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, I've never actually preached specifically on the Holy Spirit. This is kind of new territory for me. I'm feeling a little bit nervous right now. In case you're wondering, you can pray for me. That would be awesome. But what I hope will be happening over these next few weeks is that we'll open up some new conversation about an aspect of God that we don't often talk about. I mean, maybe you've seen some of the stuff that sort of seems a little excessively emotional. You've wondered about that. But what I hope more than anything, this has kind of been my prayer for myself and for this church too, is that throughout this journey, that there would be an increased longing for God. An increased longing. I mean, do you long for more of God in your life? And when it seems like there's an absence of longing. Why is that? Because there is this same promise that God is, in a very intimate way, is with us. And so we see Jesus giving this promise to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. I just want us to zoom in quickly to verse 8. I know we had a chance to hear it already, and there's some discussion questions in your bulletins that I hope you'll take home to go a whole lot deeper than I can go in the next few minutes with this. But Jesus says this to his disciples in verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, all Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. You will receive power. He's talking about Pentecost, and that's what we're going to be looking at next week, this time where, though the Holy Spirit had been given to the disciples before, but where the Holy Spirit seemed to, in a brand new way, in an even deeper way, come and reside on the church. And sure enough, there was power that happened at that point as thousands of people started coming to Christ. I mean, the church became the church, and incredible things started to happen because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking over the next 4 weeks of some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. So I want us to spend some time with this first thing that the scriptures teach us. That as the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my what? What's that word? Witnesses. The Holy Spirit gives us power and courage to share our faith in various environments and in ways that go beyond what we could do under our own power, under our own strength and steam. So I want to take just a moment and talk a little bit about what we know about the Holy Spirit. So here's one of the common misconceptions. Because we sometimes think of the Holy Spirit as being this sort of impersonal force. Who here was raised on Star Wars? Hands up. Nice and proud. Jedi Knights, unite. Excellent. Now, you can imagine me in fourth, fifth grade. I totally wanted to be a Jedi Knight. Right? Totally. Because if you use the Force, right, you can, great things happen. Stuff levitates. You can shoot down Death Stars without instruments. I mean, you just became awesome. Because you get to use the Force, right? And so Jedi's learn how to channel the Force, and then some is kind of control the Force. You know, our kids are now raised in the era of Harry Potter and wizards, and I think there is, for every generation, there's a longing for the supernatural, a longing for the sense of there's forces out there, and I can control them. And that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. Is the Holy Spirit is not a force to be controlled. The Holy Spirit is a person. There's one God in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all equally God, and yet all completely one. A little bit hard to get our heads around that. We're going to be looking at that again over the next 4 weeks. You can see I've got a lot of teasers because there's a lot of the top to cover here. But the doctrine of the Trinity comes out of the words of Scripture. Jesus talked about going baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, this rock-solid affirmation that God is one. So theologians over the years trying to get their heads around that, going, okay, Jesus talks about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and there's all these experiences of God that would back this up, and yet we know that God is one, so how does this all work? That's the doctrine of the Trinity. And if some parts of it make you go like this, that's join the club. That's kind of how it works. There is an aspect of God that is more unified and yet also more diverse than any of us can really get our heads around or imagine. But here's the piece that we need to know. That the Holy Spirit is, because it's a person of God, you know, this is the presence of God in all places, everywhere. When we pray by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the way that we have communion and communication with God the Father and God the Son. That because the Holy Spirit is a person, the Holy Spirit has a personality. And we read in the scriptures how the Holy Spirit can be grieved, how the Holy Spirit has a plan, how the Holy Spirit has a will, how the Holy Spirit has makes choices, and the Holy Spirit moves where the Holy Spirit wants to move. We don't get to control it. That's why when we pray, and we're going to be looking at about 3 weeks from now, and some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like maybe seeing people like do healing and all this stuff by the Holy Spirit. And it's really important to know that, you know, when we pray for somebody for healing or anything that we would think of as supernatural or miraculous, it's if it doesn't happen, it's not because we prayed wrong. It's not because, you know, you got to learn how to control the Force and, you know, you're a bad Jedi. Because you didn't do it right. No, God moves in the way that God chooses to move. We don't control the Holy Spirit. We don't. But what we can do is we can be available to the Holy Spirit. We can be available. We can remember that God is with us at all times, in all places. And God is on the move everywhere. And it's our job to get ourselves in alignment with what God is doing and not the other way around. God is working in this world. God is working in you. Did you get some pens when you came in today for the connection cards? Okay, could we get somebody to distribute some pens? Thanks, Josh. Because I want you to do something by the end of the message, okay? Here's my challenge. And let's also make certain that everybody has a pen in their hand. Just to write something on your hand. You can't probably see this because, anyways. But with me. With me. That we would write on our hand what I hope we will be increasingly writing on our hearts. God, I'm remembering every moment of every day that you are with me. Lord, help me to be available to your work in the world. I'm not going to try to control it, but God, I want to yield to it because I long for more of you, God. I long for more of you. I want to know this. I mean, we can't control when the supernatural happens, but we've got to be open to it. I hope that you are. I hope that you long for it. And I want to grow in those ways too. So we learn in this passage that the power is to be. Now, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be whose witnesses? Mine. Who's speaking? Jesus. That's another thing to know about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit's personality. The Holy Spirit is always looking to make God greater, always looking to give attention to the Son, to the Father. The Holy Spirit, though completely equal with God, is a humble servant. What a beautiful illustration. The Holy Spirit gives power so that people can see Jesus. Ultimately, that's what we're looking in a similar way. We're looking to have that same attitude in our lives. God, not that you would, that the people around would say, wow, hey, Andrew, he's really kind of getting cleaned up. That's pretty good. But to say, God, wow, look what Jesus is doing in him. Look what Jesus is doing in her. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I want to take a moment to talk about those four places that the Spirit empowers us to witness. We've got some questions to put up on the screen. I hope that you'll talk with some friends around you for a moment about this. Because there are places that are close to home, like Catherine. What was her close to home place in the story? Her aunt. So sometimes we are being called to reach out to places and to people that are very close to home, and sometimes it's enormously difficult. There are also places we are called to reach out where we need to make an effort, where we need to change what we're doing. We need to go somewhere else. That's like the Judea places. There are times, this one didn't show up in the story, but where we are called to cross cultural barriers. To minister to places where we might not be well understood. We might not be well liked. And there are some that God calls to the very ends of the earth. So I want you to take just a moment with the people around you to talk about what are some places in your world that are potentially your Jerusalem. Places you're looking to share your faith that are close to home. What are your Judea places? Places that you might want to share your faith that require a bit of effort to get there. Require you to change your schedule to get there. And then maybe to talk about what in our culture are some of the Samaria places where there may be some cultural divides. The church together can look to bridge and people groups that are often unreached or where there just isn't good relationship between those people groups. So take a moment, talk to somebody close by, maybe groups of two or three or four, And we'll regroup in about a minute and a half, okay? And go. Have had a little bit of time to talk through the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria questions. Take a moment and even answer this question if you have an answer for this. Has there ever been a time where have you ever felt God empower you to share about Jesus? Where you can say, this is something that happened to me where I shared my faith, and when as I was sharing it, I went, wow, where'd that come from? Ever had? So if you've ever had something like that, share that with somebody around you. And, again, we're going to regroup in about a minute and a half, okay? And so as Catherine was trying to make sense of all of the events of this day, as she was driving home from the church where she had taken this older gentleman, her cell phone rang, and it was her aunt Edith. And Edith said, Catherine, after I slammed the door on you, I got to thinking. See, I get all upset about Christians being judgmental, and I just realized I've been judging you all along. I think I owe you an apology. And Catherine thought again of that challenge that got her started on this journey, and she said, yes, God, I'm beginning to think you really are with me. Let's pray together. Oh God, would you increase in me and in us a longing for your supernatural presence in our lives? Thank you that the Holy Spirit is here. That you, God, the Holy Spirit, are here. And God, we want to be available to you. In those places where our hearts have grown hard, and the sense of longing for you has diminished, Lord, I pray just like at Pentecost, as the tongues of fire landed on people, God, that you would rekindle that fire in our hearts. That we would long for you, to long for more of you, to know you better. That God, you would surprise us in the ways that you open our eyes up to the world around us and to the needs around us. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us power to share. Thank you that you are with us and with all who call on the name of Jesus everywhere. And God, thank you that you are with, that you're with me. I invite you, congregation, just take a moment and maybe even just spend some time with the Lord on that thought. Lord, help me to believe that you are with me today.
We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.